Genesis chapter 5. Not a very promising chapter, is it? Not much here, is it? Just a load of old genealogies. So-and-so lived so many years, and then he died. Well, what's that? Oh, no, my friend. This is a very important chapter. This contains some weighty material that every one of us, each one of us, must come to terms with. Unbeliever, you must come to terms with this. Some very clear statements are made here. Not only about mankind in general, but about you, about me, about you in particular. Yes, it is about genealogy, and it's all leading up to Noah, and that's very important in the history of the revelation of God's redemption for sinners. But there's something else too. The doctrine of man is here. God is instructing me about mankind here. And not only about mankind, but about myself. And you, I talk to you as an unbeliever if you're listening to me. If you will listen to this, if you will give heed to this, if you will pay attention to this, if you will learn by this, God is telling you about yourself, the real fundamentals about yourself, the doctrine of man. God created man, verse 1. The first great fundamental is the existence, the being, the sovereignty of God himself. God is the great fact, the stubborn fact that you must come to terms with. I've said this on the first three chapters of Genesis, and I say it here again. Stop behaving and acting like the ostrich. Don't bury your head in the sand. Don't divert yourself away from it. Don't subdue this in yourself. Suppress it in yourself. Don't try to hide from it. The existence, the being of God, you have to come to terms with him, his sovereignty, his power, his existence. When God created the Creator, there's another great fact. Do you believe this myth of evolution? Chance, luck, fate, blind fate? Or are you one of these theistic evolutionists trying to make some kind of middle way between creation and evolution? God created. You're created, my friend, and all that that means there. I'm created. I'm under God's sovereignty. I'm accountable to him. I'm responsible to him. I'm answerable to him. He's provided for me. He's made me. He formed me. I'm not my own. I'm responsible and accountable to God. God created man, mankind. Tremendous statement. Three words. God created man. Come to terms with it, my friend. Recognize it. Don't run away from it. Don't suppress it. He made him in the likeness of God, rational, an upright being, distinguished from the beasts and all other creation. We're not just another animal. We're created in the likeness of God, answerable to him. He created them, again, verse 2, male and female. This is marriage, the sexual side of life, procreation, the bringing into the world of children and so on. All that is there because God created it. He created it in us. We're created like it, formed like it. All the dignity of the sexual part of life is here. How it's been corrupted, all this. The doctrine of God, he's become a swear word. The doctrine of man, reduced to an animal. And the sexual drive. Look how that's been corrupted and abused. And yet it's a very glorious part of God's creation for us. God created them, male and female, and blessed them. The blessing of God, oh, the bounty of God, the rich bounty of God, my friend. How you enjoy it, the breath you breathe, the water you drink, the things you can see, the food he gives you, the pleasures of life, the glories of creation, the wonders of it all. And all this is fallen, of course, and we're ruined in the fall. And yet it's still very good and glorious. We buy our cameras and take our photographs, we show our pictures. But where did it all come from? God created man. He created them male and female. He blessed them. Blessed them indeed. Oh, the wonderful blessings of God. Don't take it for granted, my friend. Do you thank him? You eat the bread. You drink the water. You breathe the air. You walk the earth. You fly through the sky. You see the stars. And you're never grateful. Is that really true? And when they were created, he called them man or Adam, blessed, dignified by God. And then verse 3, when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness. He had the same color hair, perhaps, the same upturned nose or whatever. No, my friend, there is that. But Adam was a sinner, and his son Seth was a sinner too, and all the sons of Adam, Cain, Abel, me, you, all the sons and daughters of Adam are born ruined in the fall, ruined in Adam, for as in Adam all die. We're corrupted by the fall, and of course, we're mortal. We get this, do we not? Look at verse 5. Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. So-and-so lived so many years, and then he died. And you will die too, and so will I die, unless Christ returns. We too shall lie in the ground. Our bodies are mortal. And we are cursed. Are you ready for death? Is the one great certainty of your life? Are you ready for it, unbeliever? Are you facing up to it? Are you running away from it, pretending it won't be there? Pretending it won't come? Death is on the road. And we have to prepare for it. If we got any sense, we will. Prepare to meet thy God. But man is also immortal. Now, how do I see that? Well, I see it in the case of Enoch. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. He didn't actually die. Where did he go then? Like all men, he went into the next world. And there is a next world. Oh, you try to say, oh, it's all snuffed out when we die. You're wrong. You're wrong. There's the judgment to come. And there's eternity standing before us, gaping before us. Enoch speaks to us here. This chapter speaks to us. It's another massive point, another mammoth point. Are you preparing for eternity? You take concern about your holidays and the insurance for your holidays and the plane flights and the passports and all the rest of it. Are you taking any thought for this great change, this inevitable change that must come sooner or later? The sand is running through the glass. Every day is passing. And it's hastening on to that day of judgment. That Christmas hymn, the days are hastening on. And so they are today too. The days are hastening on. You're immortal, my friend. You are mortal. Your body will die. It's wearing away. Change and decay, and all around I see. You see the ruin of the fall. But you have an immortal soul. We learn here also of the misery of man. In the 29th verse, look at the words, labor, painful toil, cursed. That's the catalogue of this life. Romans chapter 8, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Affliction, darkness. The darkness deepens. Gloom. It's true, there is much joy in this life, but old age comes on, infirmity, pain, suffering, not for everybody, but it does come. Pain, suffering comes for everybody, but not the final salinity or senility or the debilities of dementia and so on. But we see it all around us, don't we? Go to any old people's home. You know people now that are suffering like this and are caring for those who are suffering like this. And they're suffering for them and with them. Misery is here, my friend. The Bible is honest with us. All the glossy magazines and the TV make out as whiter than white and more glossy and more flashy, but it's not, is it? There's tears and sorrow, misery, labor, painful toil, and the ground is cursed and we're cursed with it. And we need hope. Why do they call Noah Noah? Because his name means comfort. And we need comfort. We see all this in Genesis chapter 5, and this is already in the Bible. It's way, way before the Old Covenant. Think about us in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. What do we know? What have we got now? Well, we know all these things, of course. If we've got any sense, we'll learn now. But what else do we know? That God has sent his Son into the world. We want comfort? Christ brings us the glorious comfort. The Holy Spirit brings comfort. Christ brings salvation. Are we cursed in the fall? Then, as in Adam all died, and all in Christ are made alive. Is death reigning by Adam? Then life reigns in Christ. Is there condemnation in Adam? Then there is forgiveness and everlasting peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But are you hiding all this and hiding from all this and suppressing all this, my friend? Are you making excuses and fleeing from this, fleeing from God? Then come back to God now in Christ. Admit your mortality. Recognize your immortality. Recognize God is your creator. More come to him through Jesus Christ and know him as your Father. Be saved by the precious blood of Jesus and his righteousness. Have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Learn that from Genesis 5. Learn what you are, but learn what you can become in Jesus Christ. Learn of the everlasting bliss and joy that there is to be found in him. The Bible will tell it to you. Learn from Genesis 5 the fundamental facts about yourself. May God write these lessons in our heart, that we're created. We're created in the likeness of God. All the blessings of this life that God has given to us, may we be thankful. But we're corrupted and ruined by the fall. We're mortal, but we're still immortal. We're miserable in this life. And outside of Christ, we always will be miserable. As that man said to Spurgeon when he was preaching that day, "Young man, you look very miserable. And unless you look to Jesus Christ, you will always be miserable. Miserable forever." We need hope and comfort. There is hope and comfort. But it's found only in Jesus Christ. And there is salvation in no other name, no other person but him. So much for Genesis 5.